Welcome to the Be The Muse podcast with me, Dr. B. Be The Muse podcast is for you if you're interested in self-love, confidence, and letting go of self-sabotaging behaviors. My purpose is to empower as many women as possible to develop the self-confidence needed to activate their inner baddie energy. So, if you're ready to learn how your external and internal environments play off each other to create your current reality, then stick around. You will learn tips and tricks necessary to enforce your boundaries, change your way of thinking, and finally take action towards the life you want. So again, welcome to the Be The Muse podcast with me, Dr. B. And as always, don't seek a muse, be the muse. All right, and welcome back to my podcast, Be The Muse with me, Dr. B. Today we're going to talk about people pleasing, yes, and why it's important to stop people pleasing, if not for yourself, just for the sake of self-preservation. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you can people please, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, sometimes you can do it to the detriment of your greater good. And what I mean by this is that if you're constantly taking other people into consideration, if you're constantly putting other people's needs, wants, desires, dreams, goals, aspirations, etc., on your radar while simultaneously putting all of those things for yourself on the back burner, one day you're going to wake up and not know who you are. One day you're going to wake up and you're going to be just so helpful, so giving, so loving, so chill, so easy to get along with. But when you're by yourself, you're going to feel like, who am I? What am I doing? What's my purpose? Because you have literally given all that you have to everyone else. Now, when, you know, you get on the internet, you have all these people making all of these, I guess, motivational or inspirational, educational content about stop people pleasing, and they put it on you as if it's your fault. But if we talk about usually where people pleasing stems from, is usually something that you've acquired and you learned how to do in childhood. And just to kind of explain, you've either witnessed someone do it, so maybe it was your mother who was always people pleasing, so you observed this behavior and you picked up on it as, this is just what women do, or this is just what moms do, or, you know, this is just what I know to do. That's one way that the people-pleasing can be acquired, again, through observation and mimicking someone else's behaviors. Sometimes, though, and this is the crazy part, this is why when people say you need to heal your childhood trauma, that phrase is so overused that it has literally lost its meaning, or it's so overused that people say it so much as second nature without really understanding why that is or what that means. So when in reference to this topic of, you know, stopping the self-preservation and healing your childhood trauma or adult trauma, any trauma really, but for the sake of this episode, we'll just, you know, focus on childhood trauma. But what that really means is that, first of all, before you can heal it, you have to be aware of it. A lot of people aren't aware of their childhood trauma because for them, you know, right now, if you were to reflect and dwell and really try to go back and realize what it was right now as an adult, you can give the word trauma to it. However, while you were in the midst of it, while it was happening, you were literally trying to survive. So the irony of you developing these coping mechanisms, these defense mechanisms, these, you know, some could say bad habits, whatever the case, the irony of that is that stopping them in your adult life could be for the greater good of your self-preservation. You developing them in childhood was also for the greater good of your self-preservation. And that is why it's hard to A, realize that it was a traumatizing experience, and B, that's why it's so hard for people to let these habits and coping mechanisms and stuff of that nature go in adulthood, because they're like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I needed to do this to survive back in the day. If I stop doing it now, what's going to happen? And then you get anxious because it's like the fear of the unknown of that, you know, it's like, okay, I know I need to stop this because it's not really helping me now in my current day and my current experiences. But it's like, if I stop, what do I replace it with? What behavior do I replace it with? So that's why when, you know, you hear people say, set boundaries, set boundaries, set boundaries. For someone who doesn't have many boundaries, that could be a confusing thing to do, because it's like, okay, set boundaries how? Set boundaries in what aspect of my life? Set boundaries with who? Why do I need to, you know, what happens if I set a boundary and this person gets mad? And that's typically what happens, because you got to think, everyone that's in your life, you've attracted them, and you've attracted them based on possibly some unhealed trauma. So you're literally walking into familiar territory. You're dealing with people, places, and things that seem familiar, even if they're not good for you. Even if you can consciously say, this doesn't feel right, subconsciously, your mind is telling you, oh, you're okay, because it's a familiar type of pain, because it's a familiar type of place, because it's a familiar type of action. So then your body is like, no, actually, you're cool. So you're in this constant state of, this isn't right, this is okay, this isn't right, this is okay. And that's, you know, that can cause anger, that can cause anxiety, confusion, depression, because you're just like, what is going on? And then on the surface, you know, you suppress all of that with feelings of, well, let me just take care of everybody else, because my problems are way too complex, way too difficult, and way too hurtful to deal with. So if I just, you know, help everybody else, get my satisfaction and my quote unquote happiness from seeing others happy, then I never have to deal with my own problems. If you can resonate with this, I want you to just take a minute right now and just reflect. Just reflect. Think about all the times that you had some stuff going on in your life, or you had some deadlines to make, or you had some stuff to do. You put that on the back burner, but you always make sure you're helping someone else meet their deadlines, meet their goals, and all that. If that is something you resonate with, just take a minute right now and really reflect, like, why do I do that? Because again, it's subconscious. It's probably something that you're not aware of. And that it's easier to help someone else than it is to help yourself. Because at the forefront, it's safe. It's safe to help someone else. It's a win-win situation. Because if you help them and they take your advice and they actually are helped, that's a little victory for you. Like, oh man, yeah, that was gratifying. I helped someone. I was able to be of assistance. But then it's like, if you try to help someone and then they don't take your advice and they don't really do the help, you're free of blame. You're like, you know what? I gave them the best advice I can. I tried to help them the best I could. It's not my fault, you know, that they, some people, because some people will internalize other people's, you know, disregard to take the help, and they'll take that and internalize that. That's another topic for another day. But let's just say that you're okay with the fact that they didn't take your help. You are absolved of all responsibility of whatever the outcome is, because you're not responsible for that change. They are. So that's why it's safer to help other people. Because when we're talking about helping yourself, that fear of failing, ooh, that fear of failing is heavy. And so that's why some people, and I've been here, and coming to the realization of this is what I was doing, was very painful. It is painful to look in the mirror and realize, like, whoa, wait a minute. I may lack self-love. You know, that's deep. It's heavy. So that's why people don't self-reflect. That's why most people aren't self-aware. Because when you become self-aware by self-reflection, you know, even if you decide not to do anything with that information, you decide not to change, you can never go back to not knowing the truth, though. And the truth is ugly sometimes. And again, it's harder to make change and to accept the fact that, dang, I really tried. tried. I really, really tried and it didn't work. And that's why some people just don't try. You know, that's why you can give the advice, but you're not taking it. Because once you put it in the atmosphere, it's like, oh, they'll do with it what they will. But it's like, why haven't you taken the advice? You don't trust yourself. You don't trust yourself that if you do the things that you know you need to do, or that deep down inside you keep having this nagging feeling that you need to do it, you're scared that if you do those things, you're not going to know what the outcome is. What if the outcome is worse than what I'm already experiencing? You know, those are the thoughts that you usually have. But what if what you're already experiencing is already bad? What if you can get better? That's the thing. When you come from a dysfunctional upbringing and a traumatic upbringing, it's really hard to see the other side of the coin. It's really hard to expect goodness. And this is why people spend so much of their adulthood just searching for anything to make them feel better, whether it's through substances, whether it's through sex, whether it's through alcohol, whether it's through religion or spiritual new ageism, whether it's through all these different things. The goal is the same for everybody. Everybody's trying to feel better. Everybody, and if they're not seeking pleasure, which most people don't seek pleasure, they're at least trying to avoid pain. And avoiding, doing things to avoid pain and doing things to seek pleasure are two different things. They're two different things. Because some people engage in very hurtful, harmful activities just to avoid pain without realizing that they're causing themselves more pain. You know, and this is why, you know, people say, well, go to therapy and stuff of that nature, because usually what happens in therapy is that, you know, some of these issues that I'm talking about, they get brought to the forefront. Because a lot of this stuff for people, if you never talk about your feelings or talk about anything with anybody, or if someone does ask and kind of like brush it off, like, no, I'm good, then you never really sit with these feelings and feel these feelings and have these recollections and these reflections and all that. That's what therapy usually does, is you'll be in there talking about, you know, one thing and then realize, whoa, this stems from when I was 5. And it's not like it's not to make you feel crazy or anything. It's just to understand what is your motivating factor for the things that you do. So if we go back to the topic of people pleasing, usually people pleasing, as I said, is either learned through observation. So we talked about that already, seeing somebody else be a people pleaser and feeling like, hey, this is just how you're supposed to do, either traditionally through gender roles or whatever the case may be. Another reason why people make people please is because that was the safest way for them to avoid confrontation, for them to avoid some type of abuse, whether it's physical abuse or psychological abuse, emotional abuse, all of the above sometimes. So what do? You shrink yourself, you make yourself as tiny as possible, make yourself as non-confrontational as possible, make yourself as easygoing as possible, resourceful as possible, helpful as possible, to avoid these things, whether with a caretaker, a significant other, every single body that you come in contact with, even if there is no immediate danger, you have this ingrained in you so deep that no matter who you're dealing with, you feel you have to be this way. And it's not your fault. I want to take the time, because this is some heavy stuff that I'm talking about. And, you know, these are some of the things that, you know, just in casual conversation with some of my clients, these are some of the things that, you know, we uncover. But if you're sitting there and you're listening to this episode and any of this is resonating and you feel like, oh, wow, I would like to really try to uncover these things for myself, you know, I do invite you to consider therapy or talking to someone, you know, who you trust, who can help you. You know, you don't have to go at these things alone, because it could be hard. It could be overwhelming, to say the least. And even with my services, I'm not, through my coaching services, I'm not a therapist in that sense, but I do take a therapeutic approach to the coaching. And with my coaching, it's more short term and results driven. But again, you know, these are also things that we cover, and we try to see how all of this stuff is impacting you, how all this stuff is the reason you are where you are, and how we can, you know, deal with these things to be able to move to a better future towards where you actually want to be. So just as a side note, if you're interested in any of my services, you can click the link in my Instagram bio. My Instagram is at Dr. B Coaching, or you can DM me. But now that I've told you what happens with why you're people pleasing and how it's not really beneficial for you, one of the things is that, again, these are the act of people pleasing and constantly being, you know, just easy to deal with. Sometimes if it was learned in childhood, you needed it. Because as a kid, you're kind of in a helpless situation, right? You have these caretakers, these authoritative figures in your life, and you kind of just got to roll with the punches. But as you get into, so the people pleasing was very necessary, let's say. Let's just use the word necessary during your child years. However, when you become an adult, you have the autonomy to, most of us do. I don't want to make any assumptions about everyone's situation, but for the most part, you have the autonomy to choose who you're around. You have the autonomy to choose who you allow into your life. The conundrum here is that most people subconsciously are reintroducing the same types, even if it's not the same people, the same types of people with the same types of dysfunctional character flaws, with the same types of toxic behaviors. Unfortunately, because it's familiar and it's normal and it's what you're used to, and you probably aren't even aware that it's dysfunctional or toxic just yet, you do kind of seek these same types of people. But there may be people in your life that are offering you genuine experiences, who are safe places, who are safe people that you can have. Therefore, these defense mechanisms, these coping mechanisms that you developed as a source of survival from childhood, you no longer need them as an adult, and they're hindering your growth. So if you're constantly putting your needs, constantly disregarding your boundaries, constantly thinking about everybody else's greater good, you're gonna just, what's gonna happen is eventually you're gonna grow resentful, and you're gonna become bitter, and you're gonna become jaded. And once you hit this, these different, you know, types of feelings, you become sad, maybe depressed, have some anxiety. And, you know, these are normal human experiences. So sometimes it's not avoidable. And if it happens, it's not the end of the world. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. There again is always the end of the tunnel, and there's resources and people that you can go to get the help that you need. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, oh, we need to avoid feeling bad at all costs. Like that's not a realistic human experience. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, though, you have a little bit more control over these things than you think, if you're being more consciously aware of what you're doing and how you're allowing others to be present in your life. Okay. And it's necessary. Sometimes it may be hard to tell someone no. Sometimes it may be hard to say, hey, I can't really help you with your dreams today because I need to work on mine. But if you don't do that, who's going to do it for you? Because this is what happens. As an adult, if you experienced like emotional abandonment, physical abandonment from parents, you grow up and you expect your partner to do that. You expect your partner to meet all of your needs, all of your emotional needs, all of your psychological needs. But think about it. If we're two very damaged human beings in this relationship, really expecting the other person to make us feel whole, make us feel better, how? How is that possible? First of all, it's not realistic to expect somebody to be the single source of your happiness, of your safety, of your, like, you have to be able to do that for yourself. That's the first thing. Second thing is, we all come from different lived experiences. We all have our own traumas. We all have our own belief system. We all have our own consequences that we've had to deal with based on the choices that we made. So when you bring all of that into a relationship, whether they're platonic, romantic, familial, you don't know what the other person's been through. And some people will never tell you. They'll never tell you. So you don't even know how bad it was. But you expect them to operate as if everything was great, as if they had a perfect example of what being safe to someone is, as if they had a perfect example of what it felt like to be loved, to give love, because it's just as much as people don't know how to give love. There's a lot of people in this world that don't know how to receive it. Nobody talks about that. That could be you. That could be the reason why you're people pleasing. That could be the reason why you put all your needs on the back burner, because you don't know how to receive love. You were never given it. It makes you uncomfortable. So in this situation, by you giving and never taking, that could be a way that you're trying to control the circumstances. Like, okay, I don't know what this feeling feels like of receiving. I don't know what people are going to expect if I'm just, you know, receptive to all this stuff and all this love. So let me control the situation by being the one to give it. Because I know what my intentions are. I know what my motives are. I can control that. I can't control somebody else's intentions and motives. I don't know what they are. Or you could be the type of person who's only used to receiving love and not used to giving it. And then that's what makes you pretty selfish and all these things. So it is really important, first of all, not to judge people, because, again, you never know what they've been through. But it's also important to make sure that you got you, because if you don't got you, who will have you? If you don't got your back, who's going to have your back? And then you get, like I said, resentful, angry in the world, because you're like, dang, I'm such a good person. I'm so considerate. I'm so this. Sorry about that. I'm so considerate. I'm so giving. I'm so loving. I'm so happy. Why can't I get this back? The harsh reality, not everybody's like you. That's just the harsh reality. Some people were learned not to be that way because it's deemed weak. So you're fighting, you're going on an uphill battle. So the best thing for you to do is make sure you're taking care of yourself with the assumption that no one's going to have my back more than me. Stop expecting stuff from other people, because you could get let down. And sometimes people aren't being selfish or self-centered on purpose. Again, that's something they probably could have learned through their survival. So again, this episode is really about understanding why it's so necessary to set your boundaries and stop just putting all of your entire, you know, needs on the back burner for everyone else, because it's not really helping you, you know? And when you're on an airplane, the first thing they tell you is, if the plane is going down, put your mask on, your oxygen mask on, before you put someone else's on, because you can't help somebody else if you can't breathe. This is the same concept here. You're not pouring into yourself and helping yourself become the happiest version of yourself, because that is not somebody else's job, but your own. If you're not, you know, taking care of your own needs, your own wants, your own desires, how can you take care of someone else? And then if you're already genuinely a kind-hearted, you know, you refer to yourself as a kind-hearted person, giving, loving, overly supportive, et cetera, just imagine how much more of that you can do this time after taking care of yourself first. Just imagine someone in your life. Take a minute right now. Imagine someone in your life that you just give your best to. It could be your mom. It could be your kids. It could be your significant other. Heck, it could be your puppy, your cat. Just think of someone right now in your current life. If you need to close your eyes to really envision this, because I'm being serious. This is not just a corny, you know, cheesy exercise. This is serious. Think of the person in your life right now that you give your best to. If they're hurt, you're there. If they're happy, you're there. If they're sad, you're there. If they need help, you're there. No matter the time of the day, no matter how far, no matter what they've done to you in the past, you're there. Think of how happy you get knowing that they know they can count on you. Now, envision that person being yourself for yourself. Think of how you treat yourself in relation to how you treat this person that we just discussed. Is it the same? And if it's not, why not? You have it in you to give. Why not give it to yourself? Somewhere down the line, somewhere on the way, someone taught you that it's not right for you to think about for that is not right to think about yourself. Either you were gaslit into believing that you were selfish, you know, maybe you were gaslit into or manipulated by someone toxic at one point. Maybe you have tried before. Maybe you've had tried to set your boundaries or make your changes or become the better version of yourself. And someone probably told you, oh, you're changing. You think you're all that. To the point where you're like, dang, I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't. Am I changing? Am I being a bitch? Like, you know what I mean? Everybody has their own agenda. Everybody has their own motives. Sometimes you gotta take what people say with a grain of salt. And again, as a form of self-preservation, because you never know. Now, this is not to say you need to be paranoid, but this is to say if you are confident and you're secure and you're really nourishing yourself, it's harder for people to project onto you. Because you're self-aware and you're like, yo, I got me. You develop a certain level of self-trust. So I invite you to consider, you know, really thinking about areas in your life where you can be a little more firm, set some more boundaries. Even if you tell yourself, nope, I'm not going to help somebody else reach their, you know, whatever until I at least take a couple steps towards my own. You gotta trick yourself like that, like, okay, I really wanna help. I really wanna help her with this, but the only way I can help her is if I actually do two or three things for myself today. Whatever you gotta do to do it, just, you know, just do it. But that is all that I have for today's episode. So thank you for being here with me and listening to this podcast episode. If it was helpful, please, you know, you can share a screenshot of you listening to it on your story. You can tag me on your story. Please share the episode with someone who can benefit from it. Also, if you can, please just leave me a review so that, you know, my podcast can start getting a little bit of a ranking. And as always, don't seek a muse, be the muse.